This is Offstage and On the Air, performance number 596. I am Lisa Sheps, and I'm here joined by my Winter Wonderland host of all hosts, Miss Nicole Shiro.
Hello, good morning.
You're listening to us on KOOP HD1 HD3 Hornsby, streaming live at koop.org. During this pandemic, we are pre-recorded and homegrown. Stick with us.
The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cup. Step right up. Feast your eyes on the wonders of this world. Oh, yeah.
You've heard how Santa rides around on Christmas Eve.
And all that jingle jangle, blah, blah, blah.
But did you know on Christmas Day,
when he puts away his sleigh, he throws the hottest office party that you ever saw.
And we're all rock, rock, rocking around.
It is Wednesday, December 23rd, 2 days before Christmas. On the show today, for the very first time in 12 years, we have the leader, the creative and artistic director of Zach Theater, Mr. Dave Stakely, on the show. And of course, we'll have news and views of the world of theater in just a few places, because we're not going to talk much, but we are going to hear lots of music. So stick with us after this song. Rocking the pole.
That is hilarious. And they're absolutely just adorable. That the little video is really funny.
So that was the original cast of Mean Girls singing that song. That was back in 2018 when life was different.
I enjoyed that song, though. It made me giggle.
Yeah, it's a good song.
I love Mean
Girls. Well, I know. I really want to see. I want to see the show, so it needs to open up again. So we're just going to start off with a sad note, get it done and over with. I know it affected you a great deal. This actually happened before our last week's show aired, but we pre-record, so we were not able to talk about it on the show. And we lost one of the greats in show business of our era, and that was Miss Ann Rankin. She died at 71. She was
all upset again. This one hit me.
I
hard.
Know.
This one hit me. Really
she had hard. Such a wonderful light about her. And I point to her performance in the movie of Annie.
Annie in that layout. Oh my God, it's everything.
Right. And yeah, we got Annie as a beautiful song, and it shows off her dancing. It shows off her charm. And if you look at her in that movie, and I mention it only because, folks can see that right now. She was a formidable theater performer, and she was one of the right-hand people of Mr. Bob Fosse. arguably in line with Gwen Verdon as it relates to Bob Fosse.
He was her protege.
Yeah.
She was one of the last people to truly teach his art the way he taught it. It's an end of an era, man. It's big.
So she originated the role of Roxy Hart in Chicago from the very first incarnation of Chicago, which was not a success. And I believe she reprised the role in the second version, which is if Broadway were open, it would still be playing right now.
So she did. I it was when Rush tickets first started coming out, Rent and Chicago were the only two. And my friend John Anderson and I got up at 7:30 in the morning. We got $20 second row seats and saw Anne Rankin and Bebe Neuwirth.
Yeah.
In Chicago.
So
Bossy.
Pardon me?
She was also she co-choreographed and was in Fosse.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yep. And she also was quasi-autobiographical in All That Jazz.
Everything old is new. Again, that's my favorite number in there with her and his daughter, and they Gideon and everything old is new again. That is my favorite number in that entire movie. It's just such a touching moment. Daughter, father, lover. Like, it's just such a great moment.
Yep. So that's quite a loss. And
peaceful. She passed away in her sleep. There was nothing.
We still don't know. We don't know. We don't have a cause of death yet, I don't think.
I believe her family said she peacefully passed away in her sleep.
She did, but we have no cause of death.
Yeah,
I don't know why she died.
Ill, there wasn't any something crazy that came right around.
I do think that her portrayal in Gwen in Fosse Verdon was not good. I don't like the way she was portrayed in that.
I didn't either, to be honest with you.
And
one of my favorite movies. And it's not even a musical, and she happens to be in it. And I brought it up like 5 times this year, is Mickey and Maude with Amy Irving, Dudley Moore, and Anne Rankin. And it's just nonsensical and stupid. And it's been so long since I've seen it, I might see it and find it dated, but I remember it being. Two women having babies in both sides, so it's a little off the wall, but it's Dudley Moore and Anne Rankin and Amy Irving.
I need to backtrack for just a little moment. It's something I should have played last week and I forgot, so we just want to hear just a little bit of this one song. There is a video and you can find it, a link at offstageonair.com. It is David Diggs doing Puppy for Hanukkah. Puppy for Hanukkah, you heard that right.
Yeah, come on. You know what I want to.
What you want, what you want, what you want, what you want, what you want.
I want a puppy for Hanukkah.
Want a puppy, want a puppy, want a puppy, want a puppy, want a puppy.
And I'ma get just what I wanted, yep.
Don't get it, don't get it, don't get it, don't get it.
I'ma get a puppy for Hanukkah.
Get a puppy, get a puppy, get a puppy, get a puppy.
Some kids write lists for their Christmas gifts, and they send them all off to their Santas. But I don't trip off a list for my gift. I'ma get it cause I got 8 chances. That's right, 8 nights, festival of lights. Go hard for a week with a plus one. So y'all keep stressing, be good, learn lessons. But Hanukkah is the best fun. And you can laugh if you want to. But I'ma get a puppy for Hanukkah. Clarinet, no harmonica. When I get a puppy for Hanukkah. With a gift wrap box. It don't bark, don't bite, don't cry when I shake it, so I'm pretty sure that it's just socks. But you never know, miracles happen. I tap in and start to rip the paper. Oh, please let it be the puppy that I wanted. I don't wanna wait to. Oh, yep, that's just socks. I'ma get what I wanted to.
What you want, what you want, what you want, what you want, what you want.
I'ma get a puppy for Hanukkah. Puppy for Hanukkah.
Oh, yeah.
Night 2, what it do?
It's dip. Applesauce on the side, I might just get
sick of Bruja first.
I don't know, I ain't gonna trip.
Baruch Atarai, Eloheinu Melech Haolam, Asher Kirshanu B'mitzvotav, V'tzivanu Lechad Leknei Moshel Hanukkah.
That blessing is about, now I've said it. Not sure what it means, but I learned it phonetic. By the way, you got a present for me, is it what I wanted? Test that shamus, let's get the flame started. Ooh, for me? Oh, well, you shouldn't have. I guess I'll just, Oh, that's a sweater. Did somebody knit this? It's really great.
This isn't going how I saw it, huh? It ain't going well. I really hope I get this puppy for Hanukkah.
Give me that dough.
Lights keep burning and nights just pass. Menorah is now covered up with wax. I thought it would be obvious, I didn't want to ask. But will tonight be the night I get my puppy at last? My feet are warm and my body is cozy. The hats and the mittens and umbrella are totally great. Love it all, I'm the king of style. There's one thing I've been wanting all this while. I... Wait, is that... Could it be? Oh my gosh!
You're everything I ever wanted for.
You are what I want.
You're my puppy, Veronica.
I'ma name you Monica.
Probably not, that's a weird name for a dog.
But it rhymes with Hanukkah.
I got my Hanukkah puppy.
So we're going to go jump right into the first part of our interview with Dave Stakely, where he talks about what's going on at the Zach Theater right this very second. Should we just jump right in?
Let's get into that rockin' holiday.
It's nice to take a walk with you along Town Lake once again.
It is. It's a lovely day.
So I just have to go on record as saying I do not call Town Lake a lake. I call it a river.
Colorado River Dam. It is.
Sorry, it's a river. It looks like a river. Smells like a river. It's a river.
It's actually Lady Bird, though.
I know, which I appreciate, and I'm all for. So, let's hop in the Zoom machine, which is parked right here by the bridge, okay. and we'll see where we go. Oh my God! I do not believe who I'm seeing here in the Zoom machine. It is Dave Stakely of Zach Theater.
It's a Christmas miracle.
It is a Christmas miracle. Hi, Dave Stakely.
Hello. How are you?
You know, any better and I'd be twins. Frankly, I might be twins. I don't know. So it is actually a lovely day outside. We're recording this on Saturday, and it's quite beautiful. And we're here to talk to you about a myriad of things. But first of all, tell me what's going on at Zach right now, because you have some great stuff going on outside.
Yeah, we are doing these outdoor plaza concerts. So we have currently the Rockin' Holiday Concert, which is playing through January 3rd. And, you know, talk about the weather. This morning it was just pouring, and then now it's glorious. And we have been so fortunate. Yeah. We've been doing this concert series for about 12 weeks, and we've only had one day that we had to cancel. And it's been awesome to be, you know, Austin is such an outdoor friendly city in regard to the way that people like to experience things. And we're almost, you know, we're on the precipice of 10 years with the Topfer, and we had this plaza area. I know that seems crazy.
I know. I'm sorry. I just had to take a breath. It seems like yesterday that Nicole and I walked through with hard hats on.
I know. I can't believe it. Some of it feels like it happened yesterday, and other things feel like...
Exactly. Well, I do have to say, in a sort of stream of consciousness, I think the Topfer is a lovely, lovely theater. Y'all did a great job with it.
We're just so fortunate and so many people poured their heart and soul into making that a great space. So just feel so fortunate with the architects and the theater consultants that we got to work with. Everybody just did such a remarkable job.
Well, and both Nicole and I love that there's a Chicago connection.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Steppenwolf was so inspirational for us. We made multiple trips. Just that relationship between the actor and the audience that you feel at Steppenwolf, and the intimacy that they achieved in that space. Just really, really love it there.
Yeah. And I could say the same thing of the Topfer. So congratulations for that. Well, 10 years later.
Yeah, right. And I remember giving Anna Deavere Smith a tour. She was in town for South by Southwest speaking. And so I was giving her a tour. We'd only been open a few months at that point. And I was talking about the plaza area. And I said, you know, our architect had this great idea to unite the campus with this open plaza, but we haven't really landed on a good purpose yet. We're going to use it for fundraisers and stuff in the future. We hadn't done our first Red Hot and Soul out there. She said, I think you need to put a big swimming pool, because she is a swimmer. She gets up at, you know, and swims every morning at 5. And I thought, a big swimming pool. Then I began to really love that idea and thinking about what a big swimming pool, like a big civic swimming pool would be like in that space. Anyway, I feel like we finally have found our purpose. That's been the one gift of this COVID, which has been so hard for all of us. But the one gift has been that it pushed us outdoors onto that plaza. It's been so well received by the audience. And now we feel like, oh, we have a real game plan for that space moving forward in the future. So I'm really grateful for that.
Sure. I mean, that, and now you know how to do it, and it'll be easy going in. And we'd always talked about when it first opened is using that the Juliet balcony for stuff. And I believe that was in the original plan.
That's right. And we did do some plays that first season, short plays that happened on the Juliet balcony and outside. And it was so hot in the summer that the audience, we were doing them pre-show before other performances, post-show. And the audience either wouldn't go out there, or they would just go stand under a tree where they had some shade, you know?
I'm as guilty as everybody else. I do not go outside when it's hot. I just don't do it.
Well, we have
it's been perfect weather. I was there and experienced it, and I had such a good time. And the weather was perfect, and I wasn't too cold, and I wasn't too hot, and I don't do cold. Cold's a four-letter word. But
so
yeah,
Dave,
I really enjoyed it.
Dave, COVID notwithstanding, how long are you going to be playing out there with these musical treats that you've been having?
Yeah, so we'll go through January 3rd with this holiday. Then our plan, you know, assuming that we're going to move into a stage 5 here imminently, that we would, of course, not be producing during that time frame, hoping to be back at the beginning of March and run from March through the end of July with these concerts is the plan.
Right. Okay. So nothing indoors till after July at this point in the future.
Yeah, we feel like the safest time, even if we're in a good place in the summer, we just want a buffer and time for people to feel comfortable being back indoors. So we are not going to be planning to be back inside until September, late September.
It's so difficult to make these choices, because, you know, we've all of us have been wanting to sit shoulder to shoulder next to our neighbors and trading that energy with the actors on stage. And it just isn't going to happen soon enough for most of us.
Yeah. It's just been so hard for every arts organization, every discipline of this. And I don't feel particularly adept at creating digital content. And it's just not what we do, you know? And I've been so resistant to it. There are some people who are meeting that challenge and doing a great job with it. And I just don't connect to the medium in a way where I feel like I can contribute in a way that is meaningful or is going to be a good experience for the viewer. So if we can't do it, you know, early on I said, I'll take a flatbed truck and drive it through every neighborhood of Austin. I'd rather perform for audiences of 10 or 15.
You sound like Lisa right now. I feel like you're in each other's heads. And I've heard this for like a long time. This is so like verbatim.
I have, I have gone kicking and screaming into the virtual world. We're at Ground Floor Theater. We're offering some things, but it's really, it's more theatrical. But it has taught us, and many other people, and Vortex is doing a really good job of it, of finding other ways to bring, let our artists have a voice and let our theaters have a voice. But frankly, I'm with you. I need that thing that theater's been since the dawn of time.
Absolutely. Yeah, so we're just going to concentrate our efforts there and making the outdoor experiences as good as possible. So we've learned a lot this fall that we want. We already made some improvements, but we're going to make some larger improvements for the spring based on everything that we've learned. Right now, we have a pretty intense setup and tear down. And Thanksgiving week, we did that three times with our skeletal staff. You know, there were essentially three of us doing those, my two production colleagues and myself, and we were like, we've got to find a better way. This is intense.
A lot of trees.
That would be the way to do it. Intense.
Yes.
Stick with me. I have a million of them. So where can folks go to get information about the performances will happen between now and January, presuming they happen?
Yeah, if folks would like to go to Zach's website, which is at zachtheater.org, then we'll post information there about the new concert series. And we've been doing these thematically and listing the artist as well, but they've all been based around themes. And so we'll have more of that coming spring and summer.
So I'm assuming that one of the themes will be around me, like, you know, the Lisa theme.
Absolutely. I think the Lisa concert would be really awesome.
It would be very scary. Crickets. So I will encourage folks to go take a look at zachtheater.org. There's a lot of information around in the health and safety procedures, which I found very interesting that folks might want to take a look at. You certainly have done your homework in figuring out how you're going to operate, if you're going to operate, and all of those things. So one of the things that was heartbreaking for me was to see the list of canceled performances.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. I think that is just been so hard to see across the nation in terms of, but I have great hope for what's on the other side of this. That means that there's a backlog of intense creativity that's going to explode once we're able to be back together.
I think you're right. Well, Zach Theater is continuing on. I have to say I was a little, as someone that runs a theater myself, it kind of breaks my heart that Dave has got the realistic view that probably they're not going to be opening up until the fall of 2021.
Yeah, I know. When I saw him say that to you, I know that's the realistic view you have in your head, but not want to have. And I could see your face when he said it. You were like, damn you for being realistic.
Well, I'm still going, I thought we were going to open last October. So why do people listen to me?
I think we're all making these decisions based on today because we can't base them on 2 months from now or 3 months from now. You know?
No. So let's go out on this half of the show with Hameldolph.
How does a young buck reindeer, one who was constantly mocked and dropped in the middle of a forgotten island full of misfit toys where nobody could tell you what his name is, grow up to be the one who's the most famous?
The same reindeer who led Santa through the fog and wind, globe-trotting by not letting fear stop him, got treated like a dogging and made it a tough slog, and he was green. He barely had antlers upon his noggin.
And every day his playmates berated him by calling him names, and it was lame. He struggled and kept his guard up. Inside he was tired of hearing the same old line. He started making use of his nose. It was super shiny.
Well, the word got around. They said, this deer is insane, man. wasn't very long before the word got to the big man. All the other reindeer used to ban you from their games, but the world's gonna know your name. What's your name, man?
Rudolph Red-Nosed Reindeer. My name is Rudolph Red-Nosed Reindeer. And Santa came to me one foggy year on Christmas Eve. Christmas Eve, here he comes.
Here comes the Santa Claus.
Ladies and gentlemen,
here comes the Santa Claus.
The moment you've been waiting for.
Here comes the Santa Claus.
The pride of the North Pole.
Here comes the Santa Claus.
Saint Nicholas.
There's a delay
of my sleigh.
What?
Right before Christmas Day. This fog is not going away. I'm gonna need someone to light the way. Check it. Can I be real a second, for just a millisecond? Let down my guard and tell the people how I feel a second. Now I'm the model of a modern myth that's magical, a veteran with Venice and valeting him whose elves are all lining up to make my sleigh ascendable. Hit your reindeer to harnesses and checking off the names on nice and naughty list. But the elephant is in the room, the fog is in our face, and our mission is about to be doomed. Any hope of success is fleeting. How can I keep leading when the reindeer I'm leading can't be seeing? We put a halt to proceedings as we try to get vision. It's a tough decision. Listen, we are in fog.
What?
That's thick.
What?
We gotta go quick. We gotta make it through this year. And yo, I need a new lead reindeer. Is this the team with which I am to circle the globe? We fly at midnight, the North Pole in the distance. I cannot fly if I cannot see, people. I'm in dire need of assistance.
Your Excellency, you wanted to see me?
Rudolph, come in. Did you say burr?
Yes, sir, because it's freezing. There's a rumor, sir. Christmas is canceled because there's a storm out.
Rudolph,
sir,
close the door. Don't let the warm out.
Have I done something wrong, sir?
On the contrary, I called you here because our odds are beyond scary. Your reputation precedes you, so I have to ask.
Sir.
Rudolph, what will it take to get you on my staff?
Sir?
Okay, look, I know you've got a crazy shiny nose. In fact, I've heard there are those who even say it glows. I know the deer and all the elves now admire you.
Yeah, they laugh and call me names, like Pinocchio.
Now, why are you upset?
I'm not.
It's all right you want to fly. You've got a hunger. You're just like Donner as a youngster. Head full of fantasies of flying like a starter.
Yes.
Flying is easy, young man. Leading is harder.
Why are you telling me this?
I'm being honest. I need to get these toys to all the kids like I promised. A fog this thick is not an option I chose. I need a reindeer who can light up his nose. So,
I am not throwing away my shot. I am not throwing away my shot.
We are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa and Nicole and Rudolph Red-Nosed Reindeer.
We are here.
We are here. What we went out with was part of, we probably didn't hear the whole thing, was Hameldorf from Eclipse 6 from back in 2016, where it's just a really clever thing. We're going back for the oldies.
That 1 year Lisa was time traveling, found Hamilton.
So, a couple of things I want to talk about. First of all, I have really nothing to say about this, but I feel like we should have said something about this in the weeks and weeks that it's been talking about, but I know nothing about it. I try not to know nothing about it. But of course, I'm talking about Ratatouille, the musical, on TikTok. I know nothing about it. Zero. Like, not one thing.
Do you want to laugh? I keep getting all these emails. Will Ratatouille save it? Is Ratatouille bad? And I keep flagging them because I'm like, I think I really need to figure out what Ratatouille the musical is.
It's Ratatouille.
Ratatouille.
No, it's Ratatouille. It's from the movie Ratatouille. So yeah, I know nothing about it. Haven't seen one TikTok of it, but it's...
I'm going to say this. I do love the movie, the little animated movie.
Yeah, it was okay. So anyway, I don't have anything to say about it, just that folks can go and look for it if you're interested. It has not gotten to the point where I've wanted to go to the trouble, but evidently they're going to make something of it as a whole.
It's blown up. I'm going to say it has shown up in my, check this out. Is this good? Is this
me
bad?
Too.
There's been a lot of emotion and it has shown up in my email feed 2 to 3 times a week, Lisa.
Well, I'll see.
But we're just going to keep calling him Ratatouille.
No, you're going to keep calling him Ratatouille. So I moved to New York in 1977. And a year later, I think in probably in honor of me, the West Bank Cafe opened up in New York.
It was an honor of you.
It was.
Told me all about it.
And West Bank, I used to go to the West Bank Cafe all the time. It's in the bottom of Manhattan Plaza, which had opened up right around that time as well. It's a small cafe, and because it's in Manhattan Plaza, which is a housing unit for people in theater, it has become it is like a theater icon now. And that's where I discovered from the New York Pie Company the apple cinnamon sour cream pie, which is just delicious.
Yeah, you're making me hungry now.
But it was, it is in real trouble right now. And the theater community has come to its aid, and they announced their closing, but there's been a lot of different fundraisers for it, and they're staying open by the skin of their teeth, and I hope that they continue to stay open. So it's West Bank Cafe if you want to look it up on the interweb. Okay, let's jump to the second half of our interview with Dave Stakely, where we're going to learn a little bit about Dave Stakely himself.
Let's do it.
Here we go. So I'd like to switch gears for a second, being as it's, you know, we're in our 12th year here at Offstage and On the Air, and we have not had probably the person that is singly associated with theater in Austin, Texas on our show, and that is Dave Stakely. Tell us about you. Where did you grow up? How did you find theater? What are your passions?
Yeah, well, I grew up on a ranch between Fort Worth and Waco, a very small farming community. And I was raised by my grandparents there after my mother died when I was very young. They were her parents, and they were cattle ranchers, and pecans were our crop that we harvested every year. So I had a very rural upbringing. The only opportunity was the one-act play. And a teacher would volunteer, and it would vary, you know, who was going to direct that. And once I realized that was a thing, that was a possibility, I mean, that was like the only window in the year, right? It was that little period of time of rehearsals and then going to compete, and if we were lucky enough to advance. So I ended up coming to the University of Texas. And while I wasn't a theater major, I got involved with something called the Theater Committee through the Student Union, which allowed non-majors to produce theater. And there was a pretty healthy budget there. And students were doing everything, the acting, costuming, sets, lights. So it was great immersion with some really terrific people who are still friends in my life. And that's where I first got to direct, and where the transfer happened for me of like, this actor path is not, it's not of interest to me, but this directing is intensely of interest. And I feel lucky that I found that so early in my life, that I knew it and that it fit me like a glove from the beginning, to where I was like, I just sort of knew the direction of my life from that point forward. Not necessarily knowing that it would be in theater, but I had an unusual opportunity in college, which is that I was a resident advisor at Dobie. And the Wallersteins, who had the lease on that building, they had taken over the Villa Capri Hotel, which was on I-35, a historic hotel where everybody's parents would stay on football weekends. And then we as college students would go over there and use their pools and lay out by the pool and stuff for free. But it was a big sprawling complex, and it's right there on 35 where UT's soccer fields are now, across from the LBJ Library. In there was a dormant nightclub, an old school like supper club called the Caravan, which had been built in the 50s and was the night spot, but it had long been dormant. It had gone through a couple of iterations. I think it'd been a discotheque at one time, and then it had become a country bar, because there weren't a lot of, you know, at that point, nightclub options. There were some, that's when the clubs were beginning to emerge. And So based on some shows that I had done for the Wallersteins for a corporate party, they asked me if I wanted to open this nightclub. I was a junior in college. I knew nothing. I never had a drink of alcohol. I knew nothing about the bar business. But I was putting together these musical reviews. Well, of course I said, yes. Why am I going to do that? So I and some friends worked on that place round the clock, remodeling inside, spent all of our spring break. And we opened it as this club, Ellington's, because I was obsessed with the Cotton Club at the time and those style of musical reviews. So we ended up doing a show that would happen each night at 9 and then the late show at 11. And the 9 o'clock show was always the Duke Ellington, old school Pointer Sisters, 40s kind of review. And then the late show was Motown, Soul. We even did an American Bandstand thing at one point, not knowing what we were doing and assuming that we had to change these shows every 2 weeks. I didn't know anything about that you could run a show for 4 weeks and people would come, you know, that there were enough people and all of that. The little club took off. The Statesman, Kevin Finney was the arts writer, and he got really behind what we were doing. And that thing took off, and we suddenly were just packed every night. It seated about, I think, you know, somewhere between 400 and 500 people.
Wow.
That's big. Yeah, I didn't realize it was that much.
Yeah, it was like this tiered seating, like an old school supper club. These booths that were in these alcoves on the sides. There was a big dance floor in front of the stage. It was really fun. We had a blast, but I was burning the candle at both ends, trying to go to college full time.
Sure.
And do that.
How long did that club last? Because it clearly was not here by the time I found my way here.
Yeah, that was a couple of years, and a guy who owned a bar on 6th Street, Toulouse, was looking to expand that, and he wanted to put some show bands in there. And so he approached me about coming down there to do shows, and it felt like exactly the right thing, because I was going to flunk out of school if somebody didn't, because running a business. So here was like, oh, here's an opportunity to just go do the shows. Somebody else is running the bar and doing all of that. So I did that. I made that move to 6th Street. And I had talked to Shannon at Esther's Follies at the very same time, which uh-huh. was a wild thing. That was a period in which I met her. So I started doing these, and we had 3 different shows which were running, rotating throughout the week. And that's where many of these folks, Judy Arnold, who's been involved in our Motown shows to this.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. She was in my college thesis show. She was in the first shows that we did at Ellington's and then 6th Street. Rebecca Schooler, Felicia Dinwiddie, Kenny Williams, when we went to 6th Street, he was a college student at UT. That's when we met and he came into my life. Laura Benedict. So these artists who've just been so important over the years for me. Many of them stem for that really just super fun period of time.
That is an amazing story. So you said that you were not going after a theater degree. Well, what was your major?
Yeah, I was a Plan 2 major, which at UT is a diversified liberal arts education. And my brother-in-law, who was teaching at the university, thought it would be a good thing for me because I was coming from a class of 30 people, a very small town, and going into those large UT classes he thought would just swallow me up. So it is, because they only take 200 kids into that program a year and they limit your class size to 30. It also gives you the opportunity to sample and take anything that you want without having to have the prerequisites. Yeah. So if you want to take some astronomy, some psychology, some mechanical engineering, whatever your interest is.
Well, we're glad you found your way to theater, because you've been running the Zach for 28 years. Is that right? Is my memory correct?
29. This will This fall, I'll be starting my 30th.
29 years old. So you started when you were five, which I think is amazing.
God bless you.
Yeah, I'm right with you. So we're just so happy to have been able to talk to you. I could talk to you all day. Unfortunately, we're running out of time. I'm glad you found theater. In a really quick nutshell, when did you finally say, I'm in theater for good? This is my life's path.
Yeah, I think when I lived in New York, I worked for the National Shakespeare Company, but I was on the administrative side of the business and booking their national tours. Once I had the opportunity to move back to Austin and take the job at Zach, it all clicked for me to know that this was a path that you could build a life in the theater, which was always my grandparents' concern, that I would starve to death and I would never be able to own a home or any of those things that they worried so much for me about, where I could clearly see a pathway of like not only creating a living for myself, but just a means of artistic expression, which is so important for all of us.
Well, wonderful. We're glad that life took you in those directions. I, for some reason, didn't realize that you were born and bred Texan. For some reason, I thought you might have been from somewhere else.
You didn't know? I didn't know you didn't know that.
I know very little about Dave Stakely, so perhaps when this is all over, we can go have a cocktail together and learn about each other.
That would be awesome. I love that.
Well, great. Well, thank you for coming on Offstage and on the Air. I certainly hope this is not your last time.
Oh, thank you, Lisa and Nicole. This is an honor. I appreciate it so much.
Okay. Yes, we're going to...
Please pee on again. That would be fun.
Please. Okay. We'll see you back on the other side of the Zoom machine. Well, I'm so happy to have him on. It took us 12 years, but here he is. I blame myself.
I don't think it'll be his last time now. Now that he's finally done it, I think he'll come back.
That's true. We're going to take a quick break and listen to at least part of this song from Laura Benanti. And it is also a video. And I should say before we play it that the opinions expressed here on Offstage and on the Air are not that of Co-op, the Board of Directors, or its staff, but simply those of our own. And Laura Benanti, here she is.
Santa, it's Laura. You know I adore you. But hold off before you throw those toys in your sack. All I want for Christmas is a man with a plan. Back in the White House again. Not to be shady, I wanted a lady. But I'll take a guy who's not a bigoted hack. Everybody's waiting for a man with a plan. Back in the White House again. We're so blue with an economy that tanked thanks to old you-know-who. But look, there's Joe riding in on that commuter train. And he's not insane. Oh, Lord, 2020, you sure tried it, honey. We've all had enough, we need our sanity back. Everybody's waiting for a man with a plan to make us feel normal again. This nightmare, now hope is finally right there. Cause now Kamala and Joey are ready to slay. Everybody's waiting for the duo who can bring back decorum again. No more malarkey, that old oligarchy's headed out of the Oval and we're well on our way. Everybody's waiting for the man with the plan. Back in the White House again, raise your cup. Now that Melania and Donnie are wrapping it up, we'll pull through. And though we're all a little stressed, Christmas will be best. Oh damn, 2020, you sure tried it, honey. But now that you're ending, we just might be okay. Everybody's waiting, sick of isolating, waiting for the man with the plan. You better get out, Don.
So that was Laura Benanti singing Everybody's Waiting For. It's really such a charming video. So I would encourage you to perhaps go to offstageonair.com and click the link to see it. I am guessing we're pre-recording and, you know, we always run out of time. So I'm guessing we didn't play the whole thing. So if you want to see and hear the whole thing, just go to offstageonair.com.
Boom, boom, boom. We love that, Laura Benanti.
Yep. So we are recording this on Monday. And yesterday, on Sunday, the Congress agreed on a stimulus plan that includes the Save Our Stages portion. So it's written for music venues, but then they tacked on performance venues as well. So hopefully it will trickle down to theater venues. But so that's really good news. And hopefully, and by the time you've hear this, listeners, you will know whether it has been passed in both houses and signed into law. Right now, we're assuming it's going
about the election last time too, and they didn't know when we knew.
That's true, but that's good news. And the last little piece of thing that I want to talk about before I wish you a very Merry Christmas, Nicole Shiro, is the Orpheum Theater in Memphis, Tennessee. They are a roadhouse. They are the similar to, in Austin, they'd be similar to the Bass Concert Hall where they do the Broadway shows. But this is something that I think is great. For the past however many years, 10, 15 years, between matinee and evening performances, there's a group, and I'm going to hopefully have it open here on my shit. Hold on. I'm just going to find it now that I've had to stop.
Edit that out.
Yeah, totally. There's going to be a lot of editing on this one. Photo. Okay. For the past 10 or 15, no, I'm going to take that back. For the last 40 years, the group Photo, which is Friends of the Orpheum, their volunteer group, they create and cook a great meal for the cast between shows.
Isn't that awesome?
And they are, did you read about this?
I read, are they doing the meals for people right now during the holidays, right?
No, they're selling a recipe book. It's called The Cast Party, a collection of recipes by the Friends of the Orpheum. And I just think it's great.
No, I did not. I want that cookbook. That's phenomenal.
Well, there will be a link to it on our website where you can get more information about it.
I might just have to do that.
But I'm just going to read this is a little blurb into it that sort of explains what they did. For nearly 40 years, our Photo, Friends of the Orpheum, volunteer ushers have welcomed the cast and crew of Broadway touring productions with a home-cooked meal. This tradition of hospitality has made Memphis and the Orpheum among the most anticipated stops on the tours. Now you can create your own cast party experience with a delectable cookbook written by our volunteers.
That's so awesome.
That's a feel-good story.
Warm fuzzy to me and a big smile. Yeah. I needed that warm fuzzy. Thank you, Lisa Sheps.
Yeah, me too. Speaking of cookies, there was another Christmas Broadway thing with tap dancer Christopher Rice, who is in Hamilton. He had a whole bunch of theater guest stars on, one of which was Allie Ewalt, who's done a million Broadway things. And this is a song that if you see it, and there will be a link on our website, you see that it's about Christmas cookies. But you can't hear that it's about Christmas cookies. But let's listen.
Just hear those sleigh bells jingling, ring-ting-tingling too. Come on, it's lovely weather for a sleigh ride together with you. Outside the snow is falling and friends are calling you who. Come on, it's lovely weather for a sleigh ride together with you. Giddy up, giddy up, giddy up, let's go. Let's look at the show. We're riding in a wonderland. Giddy up, it's grand. Just holding your hand. songs we love to sing without a single stop. By the fireplace while we watch the chestnuts pop. Pop, 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 there's a happy feeling nothing in the world can buy. When they pass around the coffee and the pumpkin pie, it'll nearly be like a picture print by Currier and Dyes. These wonderful things are the things we remember all through life. Just hear the sleigh bells jingling, ring, ting, tingling too. Come on, it's lovely weather for a sleigh ride together with you. Let's take a round before us and sing a chorus or two. Come on, it's lovely weather for a sleigh ride together with you.
And so I would like to wish you a very Merry Christmas.
I'd like to wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy Hanukkah.
Well, Mazel Tov, and thank you.
One more day of Hanukkah?
No, it was over last week. Yep. But anyway.
The week went by really quick then.
It did. I think Friday was the last day. So we're going to go out, presuming we have time, with there was another benefit for Equity Fights AIDS, and it's called Home for the Holidays. It's an hour, and it's got lots of different Broadway people singing different kinds of musical tributes to Christmas. And this was two people from the original cast of, well, I don't know if it was the original cast, from the cast of The Lion King, Mudu Madela and Ntizling Kahila, I know I'm mispronouncing it, sing this wonderful Christmas song, and we'll go off with as much as this that we have time to hear. Here it is. And we'll see you after the holiday. Bye, everybody.
On Christmas Day, you put on your best and join your neighbors at the music concerts and singing competitions and celebrations and celebrate the meaning of being together.
Even the meals that we cook, they are for everyone, just in case you make enough so that there's a neighbor who stops by unexpectedly and they could sit and have a meal as well.
And when the night comes, we sit back and relish the new memories we've created in the community we love.
Oh, 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 oh. Oh, oh.
See you.